welcome City First to church. Happy Labor Day weekend. So glad that you are here. Say hello to everybody at Cape, at Janesville, at God Behind Bars, everybody on the app. I say we love you very much. Thank you for being a part of the City First Church fam. You know what? Last Easter, we asked everyone who wanted to fill out a survey, everyone in attendance. And what we asked was just, you know, certain like things like how did you come to City First and things like that. But one of the things we also asked is what would you like Pastor Jeremy and the team to talk about? What topics are like kind of hot right now on your mind and your heart that you would like us to address on a Sunday morning? That'd be very helpful. And so today I am actually going to speak about the number one topic that you voted for, that you asked for actually, the number one thing. Now, I don't know if you can guess what it is. Maybe some of you would say, well, is it politics? No, not politics. I say, is it healthy relationships? No, those are important, but that wasn't it. How about end times? Like, are we living at the end of the world, you know? Nope, that's not it either. Some people were like, you know, maybe truth. Can we talk about truth? What is truth? Truth is very fluid nowadays, it seems like, in our culture. That's important, but that's not the number one thing you asked for. Somebody like, well, how about heaven and hell? Like, are they real? That's always a hot topic. No, that's not it either. The number one thing you asked for, the thing I'm gonna talk about today is this. You ready? Stress, no joke. You filled out those cards, and the number one thing, by far, there was like, I mean, it was like stress and then a distant second. Stress was the number one thing that you wanted me to talk about. So today I'm gonna do that. We're gonna talk about stress. And I found that really interesting. I have this ring on my middle finger of my right hand here. It's an aura ring. Some of you have asked like, what is that ring that now? Well, it's an aura ring. It measures your sleep, it reads your vitals, it was a gift from somebody, and basically it can tell me my readiness, my energy levels. It's connected to an app in my smartphone. It tells me all kinds of stuff that I don't even need to know about myself, you know? Stuff I don't even understand. But one thing that it tells me is it tells me how stressed I am each day. And I was a little shocking. Like a week ago, we were filming all day for a life group series teaching that we're launching in October, and it's gonna be awesome. I want you guys to get in a life group and really, really be a part of it, because in October we're gonna unveil these video messages that are gonna create conversations. It's really good, but we were filming them last weekend. And I got back to my room that night, and I looked at my little app, and my little ring said that I had been stressed for 6 hours that day. And now, I didn't think I was stressed. I was just doing life, like this Jeremy DeWert life, you know what I mean? But then this little thing told me, no, you were stressed for 6 hours. And by this thing telling me I was stressed, I became stressed. I started to go, wow, 6 hours. Like my heart rate was up. It even showed me, it has this little graph. It's this little graph. And all of a sudden, like for 6 hours, it was spiking, you know? And I'm like, oh no, oh no. I was stressed for like hours. I started thinking about it. And the more I started thinking about it, the more stressed I got. Now, I don't know whether this thing is accurate or not. I don't know. But here is the thought. And the thought is this: stress is a part of everyday life. Can I get an amen to that, right? But the problem is when it becomes your life. Let me read that again. Stress is a part of everyday life. The problem is when it becomes your life. Like, stress is just a part of life, but the problem is if stress is the signature of your life, if it is your life, you know, and many of you right now are feeling it, and that's why you requested that I talk about it. And so today we're gonna dive into it. And I don't think I have to convince anybody in the house or watching online right now that it feels like life is a little heavier than what it used to be. Now, maybe, you know, what it used to be pre-COVID, what it used to be when you were a kid, I don't know. But I just know life feels really heavy right now. We live in a culture of stress. The World Health Organization defines stress this way: a state of worry or mental tension caused by a difficult situation. I thought that's a pretty elementary and accurate way of describing it. It's really mental tension. And stress isn't all the way bad. It's actually your body telling you something's off right now, or something could be in danger right now. Like it's actually a part of a natural response to circumstances that are maybe difficult. But how we handle stress determines whether it breaks us down or we use it to actually build up our life. Stress is meant to signal something, not strangle us. Does that make sense? And so it even says in Proverbs 14:30, I love this verse, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. When we have peace in our heart, it actually is health to our body. Now, this was written thousands of years before the medical studies that we all know have been were done that basically said that stress can have an ill effect literally physically on your heart, on your blood pressure. It can deteriorate your body. You know, like when people are stressed, they literally carry it in their body. You've seen it. You've seen it in other people. You've seen it sometimes when you're looking in the mirror, right? So peace isn't just an emotion, it's medicine. And the Bible is saying to have peace, even in the middle of really difficult circumstances, to have peace is medicine to not just your soul, but even your physical body. Peace restores your soul. Stress may be common, but I want you to know this, that the promises of God are for you. That the peace is a promise. That peace is a promise that God can give you even in the middle of your stressful moments. So today I want to talk about how to find peace in a pressured world. What do you stress about? I want you to think about that for a moment. For those of you that are carrying stress right now, what do you stress about? Do you stress about your career, your kids, your finances, your health? Do you stress about the future? What is that you're stressing about? And maybe for some of you are like going, maybe the better question, Jared, would be, what am I not stressing about? So let's talk a little bit about what makes us a little stressy today, okay? First of all, let me start off my message by saying this. Today is less inspirational, it's more perspirational. In other words, it's less about hyping you up and more about showing you the things you have to work at, okay? So today's gonna be a little bit on the practical side. So the first thing, what causes stress? Well, the weight of worry, the weight of worry. There's always something new to worry about. Have you noticed this in life? Like you can always find something to worry about. What if the economy collapses? What if my kids don't turn out right? Or if they're not liked at school? What if my health deteriorates? What if I'm not accepted into this college? What if I lose my job? All of the different things that we worry about. Worry multiplies the possibilities, right? And in doing so, subtracts peace from our life. And like this little ring that when I was stressed, it actually made me more stressed. More possibilities or focusing on possible outcomes in your life will actually make you more stressed. Corrie ten Boom, we quote her from time to time. She, a person of faith who survived the Holocaust, she wrote this one time. She said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. That is huge. You worrying doesn't really change tomorrow. It just changes your today. It's kind of like this rocking chair. And you know, if you sit in this rocking chair, it's like sitting in worry. And you know, you have to put forth effort. You're going back and forth between all of the different outcomes, all of the different scenarios that could be happening. And you're putting all this energy into it and you're sitting in your worry and all this effort. And even though there's all this motion, it actually isn't getting you anywhere. You're not moving forward, you're staying in the same place. I'm kind of throwing some Cracker Barrel vibes right now, aren't I, huh? Focusing on all of the possible outcomes gives you something to do. It takes energy, but it gets you nowhere. Jesus states this in Matthew chapter 6. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Amen, Jesus, right? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why are we trying to live in tomorrow when today has enough trouble? When we try to live in tomorrow, we're only gonna bring on stress. And let me even put it this way. You are graced only for the battles that you are currently engaged in today. You are not graced for tomorrow's battles because that grace is coming tomorrow. So when you're trying to fight tomorrow's battles with today's grace, you're gonna come up short. See, this doesn't mean that you don't plan for tomorrow. I'm not saying you don't prepare, you don't steward your life to be prepared for tomorrow. I'm not saying any of that. My point is some of us, we live in our tomorrows. We're scared about, well, what happens if, and what's gonna happen then? And we start doing that, and we're trying to take today's grace and apply it to tomorrow's battles, and it never works that way. And if anything, it's compounding because tomorrow's battles are now on top of today's battles. Worry doesn't change your tomorrow. It only drains your today. And so you need to realize that. Secondly, what brings stress is the pace of hurry. Now, ooh, boy, this is gonna be a fun one because some of you are gonna be like, oh, dear, ouch. It's like you're preaching right to me. The pace of hurry. Everything in our culture says faster, faster, now, more, faster, now, more. And when hurry becomes the rhythm of your life, stress is the result. There was one time a pastor that was visiting Europe and he was driving on the Autobahn. It was kind of a bucket list experience. And you know, the Autobahn is the German highway that many parts of it, there's no speed limit, okay? And so he's on the Autobahn, he's in this borrowed car of his friend that he was staying with over there, and the car happened to be a Porsche. And so he's in this car and he's driving, he's doing like 70, 80 miles an hour, and he notices there are cars flying past him. I mean, like Lamborghinis, Porsches, Ferraris, Maseratis, just boom, 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 boom. Like he's standing still. And he looked down, he realized he was in the slow lane. He was doing 70, 80 miles an hour in the slow lane, and it was like he was standing still. And life is that way many times. We think we're going fast, we think we're cruising, everything's great. And all of a sudden we notice, and somebody else is like passing us. And we see somebody else excel. And we see somebody else's life, and it seems like they're way ahead of us. And it seems like life is already fast until someone else zips past us, and then we have this urge like, we gotta go quicker, we gotta go quicker. You know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, social media platforms, we start comparing our life to where other people's lives are at, or what their life looks like, or what they're doing. And you know, you have these people that like sometimes post something like, follow me through my day. And then you look at their day and you're like, their day is so much better than mine, right? And so we start thinking, I gotta speed up. I gotta do more. I gotta get better. Even if you're not on social media, at work or whatever, you see someone else in your company or someone else in a career that you know, and it just seems like they're excelling and you're not, and faster, 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 more, 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 now, now, now. And then Psalm 23 comes to mind. And the psalmist writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. In other words, when you have Jesus, you have everything. You don't need more, 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 now, now, now. He gave you everything. I lack nothing. He makes me. Everybody say makes me. One, two, three. Makes me. God makes us lie down in green pastures. This is a metaphor of a shepherd and sheep. All right? And he's saying that in a sense, God the shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides quiet waters. Quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths, not just any path, the right ones for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, in other words, life isn't perfect, we think peace means no problems. Good luck finding that. You ever heard of peace that passes all understanding? That's another Bible verse. Well, you can have peace that passes all understanding. In other words, peace in the middle of even the valley. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I just think this is interesting. God doesn't suggest rest. He makes us rest. You know, there's the 10 commandments, right? Many of us look at it like the 9 commandments and the 1 suggestion. One of the commandments is that you take a Sabbath. In other words, one day of the week, you don't do work. That doesn't mean you just sit on your couch. I mean, you can, but it doesn't mean that you just don't do anything. What it means is that you disconnect from the toil and the labor of life and you refuel. Now, we look at that as a suggestion. We're like, yeah, you know what? They wrote that thousands of years ago before they really had to work. Really? Like back then, I mean, you know, they're most of the time, they're an agrarian society. I mean, they're farmers. I mean, that's 24/7. I mean, they were having to build things with their hands, cut stone with a chisel. I mean, this is not like, you know, they didn't work. And God was like, listen, take a day of rest. And sometimes if we don't do that, sometimes he'll make us rest. You ever had a life circumstance that made you stop? And I'm not saying God sent it if it was negative. Like for me one time, back when I was really, really young, I was go, 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 go. And you know what? I got really, really sick back when I was about 23 years old, 22 years old. I got really, really sick. And it was because I had worn down my body. I was getting like 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night and I was going and I was having a great time with life and I was trying to pack as much into my day as I could. And doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. I finally ended up going to Mayo Clinic, one of the best, you know, medical facilities in the world, and they couldn't figure it out. The only thing I could say is, you know, Jerry, your pace of life is unrealistic. And you know, did God send the sickness? No. I don't think God sends the sickness on our life, but he allowed it. He allowed me to have the results of the seeds I was sowing in my life. In other words, I was fast, 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 now, 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 want it, want it, want it, more, more, more. And you know, I paid the price for that. And I had a foresight. He made me lie down in green pastures. And I'm not saying it's always God when things like that happen, but many times I think we have to stop and we have to think, maybe God is helping me slow down here, because maybe for some of us, we don't like to slow down. My point is, many times hurry is the enemy of holy. And we hurry, hurry, hurry. But then, unfortunately, we don't take time to be in the presence of the holy. If the devil can't slow you down, he'll speed you up. The faster you run, the less you can hear God's whisper. I love what that pastor had said about the Autobahn, that he decided to hammer down because he felt a little insecure. All these Lamborghinis and Ferraris are passing him. And so he said, well, let's just see what this Porsche has got. And he hammered it down and, you know, 120, 130, 140, 150, 160. He said something was interesting. He was with his friend and that owned the car. And the faster they went, the less conversation they had. Because all of a sudden, they're just focused on the road ahead. And driving, gripping the steering wheel, white knuckling it, you know, kind of a thing. That's what happens in life. The faster you go, your conversations cease. You can't notice the scenery around you. You just are hanging on for dear life, trying to go faster, 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 and making sure you don't crash. That's not the way that we're to live. Number 3, the trap of too many choices. This is another thing that creates stress. I love the idea of freedom, but many times too many choices can paralyze us. You ever been to like a CVS or a Walgreens and you went in to go into the pain relief aisle because you had a pain and there is a medicine for everything. You have a toe ache, we got a medicine for that. A finger ache, an earache, a headache, a heartache, whatever. I mean, it's all there. And sometimes it's overwhelming. Like I went in to go get something at Walgreens the other day and I literally walked up and down 3 full aisles of medicine and I couldn't find it because what I wanted was at the very bottom tucked away. Now it's beautiful in the sense that we live in a society, we have access to that. So don't hear that as a bad thing. That's actually a blessing. We need to be very grateful for that. But my point is that sometimes too many things paralyze us. A psychologist did a study years ago with jam, like jelly. And what they did is they went into a grocery store and they stocked one aisle, like the shelves, with 24 different flavors of jam. And then they watched the shoppers. And so what they would do is the shoppers would come in and they needed just some jelly, right? And they're looking and they're like, all of these flavors. And they're like just overwhelmed. And they discovered that sales went way down. A lot of the shoppers just got overwhelmed and just didn't buy any jam. They just left. So then what they did is they went in and they restocked the shelf and they only had 6 flavors of jam. And sales skyrocketed. Because people are like, okay, there's raspberry, there's strawberry, there's blueberry. And it was very simple and they could make a decision because there weren't so many choices. Too many choices can many times overwhelm us and stress takes over. When in life you're trying to do everything, you're gonna stress out. Here's what you gotta do. You gotta narrow your focus. You know, I know we wanna be a part of everything. I wanna do this, I wanna go here, I wanna be a part of this. And I mean, we try to cram it all in, and the problem is this, there's this old saying, jack of all trades, master of none. In other words, you try to do everything and they're all just meh. But if you narrow your focus and reduce the number of choices that you allow yourself to have, you'll actually reduce stress and be more successful. It's like some of you, when you watch Netflix, and you know exactly what I'm talking about with this. You sit down with someone that you wanna watch a movie with, and you go into the home screen and you start scrolling through the pages and the pages and the pages of the different movies, and you end up not watching a movie because all you did was look for a movie. You know what I'm talking about. I've done this with Jen before. Finally, like we spend 45 minutes and then we're looking and we're like going, man, the average movie is 2 hours. I want to go to bed. Bible says this, James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, when you try to be everywhere, you're nowhere. And when you try to believe everything, you don't believe anything. And when you try to do everything, you do nothing. In other words, double-mindedness, too many options create analysis paralysis. Indecision is still a decision and it keeps you stuck. And that's when stress comes in. Because how many, I watch this with young adults all the time. Young adults are always like, I don't know what I wanna be. I have my parents asking me, my teachers are asking me, I gotta choose by the time I'm a junior what college I'm going to and all this stuff. And they're freaking out because they're trying to figure out what they're gonna do for the next 40, 50 years of their lives. I honestly think that's a little unfair. I really don't think that's, I think that's a system we've created as the West. I'm not really sure that's the best system. And we know that because the average college individual changes their major 3 times. They're trying to figure out what they're gonna do. When everything in life is a possibility or everything in life is urgent, you lose sight of what's really important. So that can create stress. Number 4, the pressure of being watched. Now, we live in a culture of constant surveillance. I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist here. I'm really not. I'm not like saying let's put on our little tinfoil hats or nothing like that, okay? But there are very few places in life you can go anymore where there isn't something watching you, someone peeking in the window. And many times we invite it into our life. We invite people to peek in the window. Social media is a great example of this. Look what I'm eating today. Here's my pile of dirty laundry. Look at what I'm cooking. This is my coffee mug. Here's my new cat, okay? I mean, whatever it is. And again, I'm not saying any of that is bad, but many times I think we need to limit how much do we allow other people that we don't even know to peek in the window of our life. Jen and I had a rule with our older kids, Caden and Connor, when they were growing up. Social media was just becoming kind of popular at that point. And we had a rule. I said, listen, you know, you can go ahead and post whatever you wanna post and all that, but here's the rule. No pictures of us in our house. Because I wanna feel like I can come walking into the living room and my son's not going, poof, and then posting it. Like, I don't want everybody peeking in the window. Does that make sense? And so sometimes we give permission for people to peek in the window because we give them too much access. In a culture, every post, every picture, every success is measured, is judged, and it's compared. And even for those of you that don't use social media, you know, you don't have to, in a sense, tell everybody what's going on in your house, in your life. Or even this, think about how many cameras are on us every single day. I mean, at a Coldplay concert. Walking into a store. I mean, you're on video. Driving down the street, cameras are watching, even at work, online. And here's the thing. Again, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, but here is what I think. I think sometimes when we know we're being watched, we act different. Now, sometimes we act different in a good way. Like when you have a security camera at a convenience store, people aren't stealing. Okay, that's a good thing, okay? Or hopefully they're not. But if you give people access or you try to like portray your life on camera or you know people are watching, sometimes you put on a show. Like you try to give them the idealized version of your life, not the reality. I know this week you posted your nice little Magnolia dining room table, but what you didn't post is that you cussed your kids out and flipped off the neighbor next door. Like, you didn't post that, right? Because that wouldn't be very Magnolia of you. You see, we sometimes will put on a show. It's like this pressure. But realize that life, a lot of times, when we give people access to peek in the window, then they have opinions and likes and comments, and it becomes the tail wagging the dog. Are you really living the life that you should be living, or are you just living a highlight reel? Hebrews 13 says this, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Some of us need to just know that. That verse, it's like, what do people's approval do to you? I mean, what is someone who's a stranger that likes an Instagram post, what does that do for you? Like, what is that person you don't even know, or even sometimes the people that you do know, you know, them, you know, kind of in a sense, having an opinion about your life or whatever, what does that do for you? Stop living for the crowd's approval when you already have the Father's. You know? Last thing is this, fear of the future. Oh man, this is the granddaddy of all stressors. Fear of the future. This is a biggie. Fear writes tomorrow's script in our head, and that script may never play out. What if I lose my job? What if my health goes? What if I fail? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? It's like driving down the highway. You ever been caught in like a massive storm on the highway before? I mean, this summer I was caught in one, right just south of Janesville. And I mean, it was like pouring down. People are pulling over, they're putting their hazards on, that kind of thing. And when the rain is hitting so hard, your windshield wipers are going, tweet, 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 and they're not keeping up, kind of a thing. And what fear does is fear makes you focus on what's hitting your windshield, the raindrops, when really you shouldn't be focusing on the raindrops. You need to be focusing and trying to see as far out ahead as you possibly can to keep your eye on the path so that your car doesn't go careening into a ditch, right? And so many times, fear makes us focus on what is hitting us rather than the God that is ahead of us leading us in the path. You're always gonna crash if you focus on the storm. You gotta be focused on the one who can calm the storm, the one that can guide you through the storm. In fact, it says in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with you. Do you hear that? Fear imagines life's problems without God's help. But faith remembers he already has got it taken care of. He already got it taken care of. Like God is still in control even when you feel out of control. So for the last 5 minutes here, I just wanna give you some very practical to-dos on how to reduce stress. Those are some stressors, and some of those you need to learn from, and you need to avoid them, or you need to change your mindset, or even your habits, or whatever else. But here are some really good to-dos. The first one is this: quit trying to control everything. I mean, some of you, we need to make this a 12-step moment, like, you know? Hi, my name is Jeremy DeWert, and I am a control freak, right? I am, and so are many of you. Quit trying to control everything. First Peter says this. This is the Apostle Peter talking. He says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Cast all of, not some of them, not just those that you think, oh yeah, God can have these, I'll own the rest. No, no, no. Cast all your cares, cast all your fears, cast all your anxieties. It's kind of like this fishing rod. For those of you that fish, you sit there and what do you do? Well, you're in the boat or you're on the dock or whatever else, and you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to cast this out. And many times, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, in a sense, say, okay, God, I am giving you all of my fears. Woohoo! Watch out, Drew. And what do? We give them to God, like today. At today's like prayer, you might go, okay, God, I'm giving you my finances. I'm giving you my family, my kids, my health. I'm gonna cast it upon you. And then we get home and what do? Right? I mean, we're like, okay, God, I'm giving them to you. Giving it to you. And then all of a sudden we're like, we get home and we immediately like reel it right back in. You know, casting our cares is saying, God, I'm letting go and I'm letting God. I'm letting go and I'm letting God. And the temptation is to go reel right back in and kind of own it and see what's going on. No, peace begins where my control ends. It's huge. Remember, peace is medicine. You want peace. God says, just let me have it. You know, do what you can is the second thing. Not only quit controlling, but do what you can, but trust God with what you can. So there's some very practical things you can do. World Health Organization said this. I thought it was a great list. They said, when dealing with stress, here's some things you do. Keep a daily routine. Here's the second one. Get plenty of sleep. Hello. All you're doing is scrolling through Netflix anyway. You ain't gonna find the movie you want. Just go to bed. Get a good night's rest. I used to say this to the Leadership College all the time when I ran it. I was like, I'd say this. I go, the discipline is not getting up early. The discipline is going to bed early. Everybody's like, I gotta be disciplined to get up early. No, you gotta be disciplined to go to bed early. Then you can get up early. You know? And so get plenty of sleep. Number three, connect with others. That's why life groups are so important. That's why church is so important. Why do we gather? Why is it better to come in person? It's because we interact with other people that are life-giving, gives us strength. You know, we could talk to people that have been through what we're going through and it reduces stress. Somebody's like, oh yeah, yeah, I went through that back a couple of years ago and I'll tell you what happened. And all of a sudden we're like, oh man, good, right? And so number then four is this. Here's a practical one. Eat healthy. There is a true physical principle, garbage in, garbage out. So you can't eat like garbage and expect a highly performing physical body. You have to put good food in there. Take the time, make the food or buy the food that is better, just that, not just eating junk all the time, right? Number five, exercise. I know some of you are like going, oh, it's not January. Why are we talking about exercise? You know, do what you can do. Maybe you're not like all of a sudden like going to a box and joining a CrossFit or something, but get out and take a walk. Do something. Get off the screens for a moment. Like, we take our screens to the bathroom with us now. There used to be a time, believe it or not, young people, used to just go to the bathroom. That's what you used to do. That was it. But now all of us, all ages, it's like, well, I wonder what's going on, you know? All right, so get away from the screens for a hot minute. Take a walk. Get some exercise. Move your body. You'll believe it. It actually helps reduce your stress. Number six, limit time following the news. I thought this is amazing. Like the World Health Organization is going, get off the news. You know what the problem with online now, and even when 24-hour news was the big thing back before there was online, is you had to fill the 24 hours with something. And now online, we have access to way more than we need to know. Like we know about that one person in the backwoods of Idaho that walked into Burger King and slipped on the floor and broke their neck and is now in the hospital. And we're like, oh, maybe the next time I go to Burger King, I might fall. I mean, people. Like, we know everything now, stuff that we would have never known before. And it's like it goes right to the front and it's there for a hot minute. Then something else comes to the front. And here's the thing, get off the news. I think the news is important, but it shouldn't be something we binge on. Does that make sense? So yes, be aware of world events and local events. I'm an advocate of that. I do that, but I also am limited. I limit myself how much I actually am taking in. So do those things. You know, quick story before we close, and that is there's an Old Testament prophet by the name of Elijah, and he had a showdown with some prophets of Baal, and God showed up in fire, and it was amazing. Amazing miracle happened, and revival broke out in the land, and Elijah was the prophet, and I mean, like, honestly, he was the champion. I mean, he should have been celebrating victory in God. And what does he immediately do in 1 Kings 19? He immediately after the victory that God brought, he runs into the wilderness and he sits underneath a tree and he asks God to kill him. He's exhausted. He's overwhelmed. He's ready to quit. And he's just like, I'm done. I'm no good. And what does God do? It's very interesting. God sends an angel of the Lord to Elijah and wakes him up from his sleep and cooks him a meal. This is kind of interesting. An angel comes and cooks him a meal. In other words, before God spoke to Elijah's soul, God cared for Elijah's body. And for some of us, before he can speak to our mind and our heart, he needs to first of all take care of our body, because sometimes the most spiritual thing you could do is take a nap and eat a healthy meal. Do you hear that? Like, literally. Don't try to do it all. Don't try to do anything. You're gonna be a better you if you're rested, if you're eating good food, if you're healthy. I know this is super practical. I told you it's not inspirational. It's perspirational. You're having to do some things. And then ask God to help you. God, help me with rest. Help me to be able to get focused. Help me not to try to do everything, because if I do everything, I'm gonna do nothing. Help me to narrow my focus. Help me not to take in stuff in my heart that it shouldn't, and all of these things. I just gave you gold of some things that are gonna reduce your stress level. Your Oura ring will prove it, okay? I promise you. But some of you are stressed right now and you're carrying it. You know how I know that? You told me. At Easter, you said, talk about stress, number one thing. In spades, you told us. So this is what I wanna do. I wanna close by praying for you. And I'm gonna pray that God supernaturally helps lift the burden, but you have to do your part of what the things I just talked about. You cannot violate the principles that I just talked about and expect God to doink you with a magic wand and take away all your stress. Does that make sense? So here's the thing, I wanna pray for us. I wanna pray that God would help us with stress. Lord, I pray right now, there's a lot of people that are stressed. They're stressed because they're carrying more than they can or should. God, they're stressed because maybe they even got themselves into a stress point. Or maybe they're stressed because of exterior, uncontrollable circumstances. Maybe they're stressed because they're trying to live in tomorrow today. Maybe they're stressed because there's too many options. They're trying to do them all. I don't know what it is, but God, we cannot control everything. So the very first thing we do is we repent of trying to control the entirety of our life. Lord, instead what we do is we cast our cares, our anxieties, and our fears all upon you, the one who is strong enough to carry it, because we're not. And Lord, we promise we're gonna do what we can do, but we're asking you to do what we cannot do. We trust you. And when the world puts the pressure on us to carry more than we should carry, may we opt out of that and say, no, I'm gonna only carry what I can carry, and Jesus, you're gonna carry the rest. I do pray right now a supernatural lifting of the burden for some of my friends. They're heavy right now. I pray that they would experience supernatural peace that is like medicine. I pray they'd be able to take a deep breath in and exhale and know that you are in charge. You love us. You got the future in your hands. And Lord God, we can trust you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's go ahead and give God a huge round of applause. Can we do that?
What an incredible, timely, and needed message. If you listen to that message and you're thinking to yourself, hey, maybe it's time that I went in all in for God and see what God could do with my life if I let him be my leader, I would love to usher you into a very, very important decision of making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and giving your life. And if that's a decision that you would like to make right now, me and Pastor Paige would love to pray for you. It's very, very simple. Just take a moment right now and close your eyes and repeat this prayer after me. It goes, dear Lord, I know that I've made mistakes and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I now invite you to be the leader and forgiver of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, can we just say congratulations for making one of the most biggest decisions that you can ever make? Mm-hmm. We got a couple of things for you, for those of you who've made that decision. First thing, do not keep this news to yourself. It's so special and so good. So take a moment and share with a family member or a close friend the decision you just made. The second thing is take a moment and scan the QR code that's on your screen right now. It's gonna lead you to something that we call the New Beginnings Resource. And it's gonna help you step by step learn how to walk a new life with God.
That's right. And next, we want to invite you to sign up for Growth Track. It's a program designed to help you figure out your God-given purpose. You can sign up online, visit the app for more information, but that is an incredible next step to take.
That's right. We love you guys. We hope that you guys had an incredible service. We can't wait to see you guys again. And also remember that Baptism Sunday is September 21st. So we would love to see you in person at one of our locations. You guys have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.